I asked Brother Roman to explain something to us a little better, because you men may understand it, probably not like with his expertise, but I've been driving down Westwood, of course, every day to come to the office every morning, and I've been watching, they're building those communities out there. You know, they're building those two-story apartments and one-story houses, and they're just going up. But for the longest time, it was the boringest thing. You saw all the trucks, then they started putting in roads, and then they put that ugly foundation in. You know, so all you saw was cement, and so you could count the cement platforms or foundations and know how many homes were going up. It was just an ugly thing. I was so happy to see that lumber start going up. So I said, Brother Roman, please come and talk to us about the foundation of a home, because I want to talk to you tonight about what the foundation of our lives is. Amen. Would you welcome Brother Roman? Please come. And thank you for doing this. I just asked him about an hour ago, so I'd say you must know about it.
Yeah. Typically, I need about 30-day notice, you know, an advance notice for being a guest speaker. But Pastor called me, she texted me just a little bit ago. But anyway, so I've done concrete work, foundation work for 50 years. I dropped out of school at the age of 15, and I just retired, so I did it for 50 years straight. So I know a little bit about foundation work. One thing that most people don't know is that your foundation is pretty typical. But what people don't know is that if you go deeper and you go wider with your foundation, it'll withstand a lot more on top of it, a lot more pressure. So if you build a single-story home, it's just a 12 by 12 foundation footing in the perimeter of a slab, 12 inches into the natural ground. Mm-hmm. If you build a two-story home, it has to go 24 inches deep and 18 inches wide. But if you want to build something even bigger than that, we've built foundations at the coast for mini storages that were 3 foot, 4 feet deep, this deep, to hold up a good-sized building. So going back to the depth and the width, the deeper we go, the wider we go, the more rebar we put in it, the more reinforcing we put in it, it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So we've all heard of build your house on the sand and the water will come and wash it away. Build your house on a rock and it'll stand solid. Which is not only God's word, but it's also a fact, a known fact, that's the way it works. In some areas, the water is real close. The water table's up high, so it requires a little bit wider, a little bit bigger, a little bit deeper foundation than other areas. That's just a little bit of explanation. And Pastor was telling me that she wants to speak a little bit on our prayer life and. And I just, one thing I can just say is the deeper we go, the wider we go, the more we can withstand.
Wow, very good. Thank you so much. Wow. Well, he said the wider you go, or the deeper you go, and the wider you go, the stronger it is, the stronger. And I mentioned back there to him when he was mentioning the stronger, the wider, the deeper, or the deeper, wider, and then stronger is how our generations are. We're not just praying to hear ourselves talk. We're talking to God, and it's the greatest gift that could have possibly be given to the church and to us, to the Christians. But when we pray, we're not just building. You say, well, it's just me or just my family. No, no, no. This is where we start. This is like a, what do they call it? A one family dwelling, just one story. But then you get the kids, and you got two story, and then you got the kids' kids, and then you got a three story, and then you keep going down. So this building up of generations, if we want our generation stronger and stronger, then you and I need to just keep on praying. That can be a real complicated thought when you start thinking about it. One day we'll be gone. And you want those kids prayed over. You want those grandchildren prayed over. You don't know what will be going on in this life. You don't know how much your children are going to be praying. And maybe they'll be a greater warrior than we are. Maybe they'll be a greater intercessor than we are. We aren't saying that. We're just saying take time while we have it. Take advantage of the time we have to pray. So, of course, I think you can figure out by now the greatest foundation, the most powerful foundation for our lives is prayer. Amen? I mean, that's the big deal. Outside of salvation, outside of eternal life, I would say prayer is the next most powerful weapon that we have, and it is so neglected. You know, I don't call it that anymore, but there were times on the road when I would call prayer the Cinderella of the church. I don't want to dignify that with that word anymore, but, you know, Cinderella, the little story goes, was put back in the cinders or down in the basement. And sometimes we know that prayer comes up kind of like an ER room. People go to ER in time of an emergency for their lives and they don't know what to do. But prayer is to be there for us all the time. And I know I've been talking about this for a long time, you guys, on Wednesday night. But again, I pray tonight, Lord, I do this to make sure the people know how important and how powerful it is and how that it builds a relationship with the Lord. I was watching TBN the other day, and Sheila Walsh was interviewing a lady. You all would probably know who she was. She was an Asian, Korean girl. And she used to be on CBS or ABC or one of those. She was a news anchor, beautiful girl. And so she gave her heart to the Lord during the time that everything came against her, because she began to talk about some conservative things on the air. So of course she got fired. They let her go, and then the abuse never stopped. Well, she turned herself to Jesus, and she said, it's the greatest thing I ever did. And when you hear her talk, she's just like a little child. And so she was talking about, oh, what do you, she goes, Sheila, she goes, I used to think that other people knew how to pray, or my priest knew how to pray. Every now and then I would go to the Catholic Church, but I didn't think I could do that. And then I found out that I could do it, and it is just simply talking to God. So, you know, there's times where people will ask people to pray, oh, Pastor, I don't know. I can't pray like everybody else. Drop that thought. I mean, that's just a senseless thought. There is none of that. It's just talking to Him in the sweetest, most simple, most humble language that you have. Now, tonight before I came here, I knew we were going to have a time of prayer, but I went over and got in my secret place, not to do this. I'm just telling you, so maybe you'll learn here, that I go over there and I acknowledge the Lord in my ways. And I said, Lord, I know you know what we're going to do before we speak, but I just want to tell you what we are going to do tonight. Now, you can come anytime you want and interrupt us or take over, and I pray that He will just come over and ruin us and take over one day. And I would gladly step aside and do whatever He wants, or let Him do whatever He wants. But I said, we're just going to go down there tonight, and I'm going to have Brother Roman come up and tell us about the foundation. Because you see me going to work every day, and you see me passing those houses and looking at that foundation and wanting to see that lumber go up and those homes being built. And now you're seeing two stories, and it's a beautiful thing. And some of them are now getting roofs. Some are even painted. And so, Lord, you know, I've been watching all that. And so bless Brother Roman as he gets up there. And then after that, I'm going to talk a few minutes about praying and talking to you and the simplicity of prayer and yet the powerful anointing or the powerful weapon that it is for your saints. And then we're going to pray a while, Lord. I don't know how much time we'll have to pray. I didn't know we were going to pray over these, but he did. He knew you were going to tell me that. And so he had us put these out here for you because he knew you would want one tonight or need one to give to a friend or carry with you to work. So anyway, I said all that to say, and then we'll pray, and then we'll go home. Keep us safe as we're coming in. Keep us safe as we go home. But the Bible said, David told us, just acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. And then he will bring it to pass. So just let him in on what you're doing. It would probably be very nice in the morning before you go to work, or you people that are staying at home, you know, that you that's going to work, Lord, I'm just going to tell you here what I'm doing today. I'm going to acknowledge you because you're important to me. Do you ever tell your kids or your spouse what you're going to do? Well, tell him what you are going to do today. I'm going to go to work. I'll stop maybe over at Starbucks and get a coffee or Dutch Brothers or not. Just go on to work and help me to be a blessing to someone today. Or if you're staying home, Lord, I don't have much on the agenda today. I'll be at home and, you know, it's the same old routine for some of you, maybe seniors. But if you've got a piece in the scriptures that I could read, lead me there. So just keep it simple because it is such a foundation to our life. Gabby, I didn't give you anything tonight, but would you look over to Colossians, see if you can pull that up, and then I'm going to read it. Go ahead and do it in the New King James, and then I'm going to read it to you from the Living Bible. Not the New Living, but just the Living Bible. Colossians 4:2. I love the way it was written there. I love this. Continue earnestly means keep on doing it. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant or sober in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, Paul says, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Now he's in chains, he's in prison, but he's still writing to us. Don't forget to pray now. Over and over, Paul kept telling them, just like I tell us on Wednesday nights, over and over, keep praying. And he said, meanwhile, pray for us. So I want to tell you, meanwhile, when you're praying for all the needs of your family and what's going on in your life, don't forget to pray for the saints. Gloria may need something tomorrow. Don't forget Kathy. Don't forget Linda. Don't forget our sweet sisters in Springville. Don't forget your family, and ask God to lead you. Lord, if there's somebody at church that you need to lay on my heart, would you do that? They need somebody to pray for them to do it today, and I'd be happy to pray for BJ and the girls. BJ's raised his three girls alone for many years. His wife was killed by a drunk driver, and so he's done a beautiful job with those sweet girls, and I'm sure your prayer here has helped you so much and built a foundation. So here's what I'm going to read to you about that verse. So don't forget to pray for each other. I'm going to read that verse 2 in the Living Bible. It says this. See where it says, continue earnestly in prayer. Be not weary in prayer. Keep at it. Now watch for God's answers. And remember to be thankful when the answers come. Sometimes you can go on and a week has passed and you're like, oh my goodness, my prayer was answered. Well, if it's something big, you may be like, oh no, time passes. I thank him right then. Well, we should. But when it's a small thing, maybe we might consider small or not so important, you might forget. So he says, now you pay attention because I hear you all the time. So when you see me working in your life, you just stay at it. Don't lose hope, because when we continue to talk to him, then we become so dependent on him. You're not so dependent on your job or your money or your spouse or even your church, but you are dependent on the God who loves you. You just become so dependent on Him, and you begin to trust Him. The more you talk to Him, the more you feel like He's hearing you. And not, you don't just feel like it, you know that He is. But that's meeting with Him frequently, church. But if you don't pray and you're just in passing, you know, you're in the car, Lord, be with me. If you don't have a set time, a set place, like Matthew 6 says, go into your bed, your secret place, shut the door, and your Father who is in the secret place sees you in secret, and He'll reward you openly. He has open rewards. Matthew 6, 6. Read it. It's what it says. Matthew 6, 6. And so, the more you talk with Him, the more you trust Him, the more you feel like you have a companion and somebody very close to you that we've heard our entire lives, that He sticks closer than a brother. And all of a sudden, as you've been praying for years, maybe, or many days, it dawns on you, whoo, the truth of that word, that He sticks closer to me than a brother. You're always with me. And I'll tell you it, when you begin to pray, I mean, consistently, every day like this, it said, you pray earnestly in prayer. Don't forget about it, but be earnest. And James, the brother of Jesus, oh, he talked to us about prayer. And Mark 11:24 said, and when you pray, he said this, the things that you desire when you pray, you'll receive them. You'll have them because you prayed. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You say, I don't know how to believe for it sometimes, Pastor. It's just hard for me to believe it. Well, then why are you praying it? He's the only one that can help you with it. Some things, He's the only one. You know, you need an attorney, you need a doctor, but when it comes right down to it, He'll lead you in those places. But He's right there to say, hey, I heard you. You desire that? All right, let's go after it. James said the effectual fervent prayer, almost what that's saying right there, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, that's who you are, we're righteous, he said it avails much. Man, it just puts out a lot. So when you pray, believe that you're going to have a lot of results. You're going to have a lot of help. You're going to have a lot of strength. As Romans said, you're going to have that deep foundation that holds you. When it looks like everything is falling apart, you're not. Why aren't you? Why not? Because you got this foundation. And this prayer foundation is the strongest foundation we can have. And he said, the deeper it goes, the stronger your life is. The stronger that house is going to be built. The stronger you're going to be. The stronger your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your children are going to be. Because you have sought after him. Amen.